Hey, it's Cappy, and this is Beyond the Plate, Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate, literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. This isn't a peer-reviewed culinary journal. It's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. All right, first up is Lilac Tiger in Chicago. Okay, Lilac Tiger is a South Asian spot from Chef Zubair Mohajir. Zubair was on Top Chef season 22, so if you're a Top Chef fan, you likely saw him there or know him from there. And quick side note, I actually spent some time with Zubair in Washington, D.C., advocating for hungry kids and their families with Share Our Strength. So he's a talented chef who's also doing meaningful work out of the kitchen. Zubair also has a few other spots in Chicago, like Mira and Sarima Cafe. And he has at least a couple more restaurants in the works. I know he recently mentioned on his social media. But about Lilac Tiger, it's a smaller space and definitely cocktail forward, and the cocktails are really good. But the food menu isn't massive. There's more than enough to choose from. And honestly, you're going to want to go back and try some of the things that you may not have ordered. I went with a friend of mine and we hit up different parts of the menu. We got some shrimp dumplings, a spicy cucumber dish, one of these Indian accented fried chicken dishes. There's three of them to choose from. We had a crab noodle dish as well as a mushroom fried rice. Just some pretty solid food all around and very flavorful food across the board. Again, not a huge menu, but definitely options. I'm personally trying to get to Mira and looking forward to trying more of his food because I just keep hearing positive feedback over and over. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. Next up is all things mango sticky rice. Okay, buckle up here, everybody, because this one's going a little all over the place. But if you know mango sticky rice, you get it. I have been a longtime fan of mango sticky rice personally. I mainly fell in love with it at some great Thai restaurants over the years that I visited in Chicago, or Miami, Vegas, LA, wherever. But if you haven't had it, I'll try and keep this short and easy. Mango sticky rice is a classic Thai dessert, and it's made with glutinous rice, fresh mango sliced over the top, and a slightly rich coconut milk sauce. Now, glutinous rice is a short grain rice that becomes very sticky and chewy when it's cooked. It's very simple, but it's a ridiculously good dish. Okay, so this dish is so simple. Just to give an example, one Thai restaurant I worked at in Miami, respecting its simplicity, yes, I worked at a Thai restaurant in Miami, they would not serve this dish if the mangoes they had in the kitchen were not perfectly ripe. And I respect that. Anyhow, lately-ish, I feel like I'm seeing versions of it pop up in various places, and honestly, not mad about it. Now, when I say versions, air quotes, I first noticed it when Trader Joe's dropped a mango sticky rice spring roll, but I know that was many years ago. I think it was one of their top selling items, not orange chicken top selling, but top selling. And then at Expo West, the food show that I've mentioned on this podcast, this past March, I saw Van Leeuwen ice cream. They were sampling a mango sticky rice French ice cream bonbon. Again, not mad about it. Then my friend Kara, who I've definitely mentioned on here before, for my birthday, sends me this Royal Mango Sticky Rice Cake snack from a Thai company called Bite Tuoso. That's Bite and then T-U-O-S-O. Okay, I'm not done here. Kara then sends me an Instagram video of Hallie Meyer from Cafe Pana in New York City doing a mango sticky rice sundae collab with a Thai spot in New York City. So at this point, I suppose we can call it a trend. And if we do, and people are going to keep riffing on this classic mango sticky rice dessert, please just promise me one thing, that it's really, really delicious. Next up is a Wagyu chuck roast in a pressure cooker. So I had this craving to make something tender and braised, mainly because I realized I didn't cook a single braise all winter, which I'm not exactly proud of. Plus, I wanted to use my pressure cooker again. So anyway, I'm at Costco, I'm in the meat department, and I see this beautiful 3-pound Wagyu chuck roast. And I'm like, all right, let's go. I decided to keep it pretty straightforward though. I seasoned it aggressively with salt and pepper, gave it a nice hard sear, in the pan until it was nice and golden brown. Then I pulled it out of the pan. I added some diced onion, carrot, and celery to the pan, stirred it around for a few minutes, and then deglazed that with some white wine. But I added way too much white wine. Honestly, thought there was a splash left in the bottle, but there wasn't. There was way more than a splash. So I effed that one up. I digress. I then added in some sun-dried tomato paste, a little squeeze of white miso, some bone broth for the liquid, and I mixed it all together. I brought it to a light simmer and then dumped that mixture into the pressure cooker and added the seared piece of Wagyu chuck on top. And then I let it cook for about 75 minutes. Most of the recipes that I checked out were anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, so I just split the difference here. When it was done, I took the beef out of the pressure cooker, and it was super tender. It shredded beautifully, but all that white wine I added, it was still too strong for me personally. So I did what you would typically do after a braise, which I don't know that this helped. I reduced the sauce a little bit, and then I hit it with my stick blender, also called an immersion blender. And then I finished it off with a little hit of acid with some sherry vinegar and adjust the seasoning a little bit. And overall, I'd say it was pretty good. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't even close to perfect, quite frankly, but it was definitely usable. I've been throwing it on a bunch of things over the week. I put it over salad, put it over rice, ate it with some vegetables. And next, I'm actually going to crisp it up in a cast iron pan and go a little carnitas style. And just so you know, I will not be including the recipe in the show notes. Next up is the Soul and Smoke Community Fridge from the Soul and Smoke Foundation. Okay, first off, Soul and Smoke is a pretty solid barbecue spot on the north side of Chicago. I believe it's based in Evanston, but they also have a spot in Soldier Field, which I didn't know about, and they have a couple food trucks as well. I've seen them at various food events around the city, and they always serve really great food, but they've been getting a lot of praise, so check them out. But what caught my attention is what they're doing beyond their restaurant. So they launched the Soul and Smoke Foundation, which helps promote food security in their community, and through that, they created this community fridge in Evanston. It originally launched back in 2021, and the fridge is open 24/7, so people could use it whenever they need. And it's available to people that are in need of food, but also people can leave food for other people. And it could have everything from fresh produce and breads to full meals or packaged goods. So to me, this is a simple idea and has a real impact on the community. I will say there are a number of organizations around the country that do this community fridge thing, but overall, this to me is just a great reminder that restaurants play a very meaningful role far beyond what's on the plate. I will share the links and handles in the show notes. Next up is a bunch of books that are on my list, but they're not cookbooks. Let's call these hospitality adjacent. Okay, I'm going to share this speed round style for you. I'm going to give the title, the author, and just a quick bit of what the book entails. But before I do that, I just want to give a quick PSA that pre-orders matter. Some of these books are out, some are coming out in the future, but pre-orders matter a lot. I've mentioned this before. They impact sales numbers, rankings, and ultimately where a bookstore may place the book on a shelf. All of these things. So if one of these books sounds interesting, please don't wait to buy it. Just go and pre-order it. And thank you. Okay, here we go. First, coming September 29th is What Could Possibly Go Right by Danny Meyer. Danny's the founder of Union Square Hospitality Group. And in his next book, his first one was a smashing success, but in his next book, he shares the secrets of his very widely admired leadership philosophy and some of the tools that he uses to build an energized, cohesive, and motivated culture at a company. Next, coming tomorrow, April 28th, is Unreasonable Hospitality, The Field Guide by Will Gadara. So this is a follow-up to Will's best-selling book, Unreasonable Hospitality, but it's basically turning his philosophy of over-the-top hospitality into this interactive guide. So you can put some of these principles of unreasonable hospitality into action within your organization. Next is Take It Personal, How to Succeed by Building Relationships and Playing the Long Game by David Grutman. David is behind Groot Hospitality based in Miami, but has concepts in Vegas and elsewhere, I believe. And this one dives into Dave's core values and guiding principles on building relationships and businesses that last. I'm guessing there are some incredible stories in here, just given David's relationships as a whole. I just got this book and I plan to dive in very soon. And finally, coming November 3rd is a book called Guesting: How to Show Up, Level Up, Win Over Your Host, and Make the Most of Any Occasion by Gail Simmons. Yes, Gail is an author, a culinary expert, and a judge on Top Chef, but what's fascinating about Gail is her experience and expertise in so many parts of the food and hospitality world. So for me, this is such a brilliant angle. She's kind of flipping hospitality on its head and focusing on how guests can show up better in a social and or dining situation. I love this. Next up is White Bark Workwear. Okay, White Bark Workwear is an apparel company handcrafting everything in Los Angeles, but their focus is on durable workwear. They make shirts, aprons, tees, pants, and their thing is that they use good quality hemp fabrics, so they say they last and actually get better with time. So I learned about this from Chef Chris Bianco's Instagram. It's kind of random, but I dig it. I've been really into Chris and his Instagram lately, just what he stands for, his point of view on things. It all feels real and genuine and thoughtful. So Chris posted about something that honestly, people may not have been expecting, but I was here for it. He shared this whole story about one of his favorite navy blue t-shirts that was falling apart and essentially how he worked with this company, White Bark, to recreate it. So I don't know, I appreciated his appreciation for it and I loved the story and loved that he shouted out this company and just the intention behind it. So I bought one. All right, one last thing before I leave you. As I may have mentioned, I'm all about getting kids excited about food and cooking. So the other night, I was simply sauteing some chicken thighs for dinner. Nothing crazy. I was just going to do salt and pepper. But instead of just going with the usual, I grabbed a few of the what seems like hundreds of spice jars in my cabinet, and I put four of them in front of my daughter. So I opened them and had her smell them to choose which one smelled good to her, which would determine which one I seasoned the chicken thighs with. She ended up picking one called Back of the Yards from the Spice House, which is basically like a garlic pepper rub, and it's really good. But more importantly, she got really into it. So it's just a simple idea that sometimes it's nice to let your kids have a choice and make a decision, even a small one, about what goes into a meal because it does get them engaged. And honestly, it may make dinner a little more fun for them and it may make them try something new that they may never have tried before. Thanks for listening to Herd, a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. If you liked this, then tap the follow button and tune in for more Herd, where I share what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you'll share it with them. Until next time.